Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
We find ourselves in an unusual, historic, once-in-a-lifetime, eternal moment. Individually, as a congregation, as an extended family via video and the internet across the nations, as members of the body of Christ, and from America through the witness of a charlatan, the whole world is listening today afresh that there is good news of salvation from sin through the blood that Jesus Christ shed for each of us. And this is the gospel. It is the message of God. It is the purpose for our lives. Amen. I pray that each one of us today have a new encounter with Him who is invisible, in the realization that our purpose for living, created, thought through, dreamed up in advance by the God who flung the cosmos into material existence, that you and I existed in Him before. And it was for this moment to bring us to this place in the journey of human existence that God thought in advance and wrote in His book the days of each of our lives. That in our triumphs, in our tragedies, in our victories, in our defeats, in our sorrows, in our rejoicings, in the mundane and simple things, or in the complex and celebratory aspects of each person's life, this is the reason we exist, to give witness that we know Him and to share this knowledge with others. And so this is a day of renewal. This is a day of repentance. This is a day of recalibration and reflection. This is a day of reset. And so I challenge each of us in our own way, in our own place, in our own life, in our own circumstance, to recognize God is with us. God is present, and this is your day of encounter. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize You live. We acknowledge the witness of Your life, that its mission was one, to enter earth, God as man in the flesh. That a death was necessary to reconcile all of creation to its creator. And that reconciliation occurred in You on that great day on Calvary, when having given all, You cried out, "It is finished." And so today we present ourselves individually, as a community of faith, as a congregational gathering, as members of the wider body of Christ, as a spiritual connection to previous generations who looked forward to your promises, who have entered that inexplicable place of glory, but yet have not fully received the promises without us. God, today, we recognize that we are runners in a race, that we are members of a marathon team of dread champions clothed with Him who is the ultimate dread champion. And so today we refresh ourselves in the knowledge of Christ our Savior. So today we receive fresh fire. We invite the fear of the Lord in all of your glory. We repent of smallness and pettiness, of excuses and fears. And we take fully, Lord, this great privilege that you have called us and made us to know your name. And now, God, as you stamp each one of us afresh with a true sense of divine purpose in every event and moment, past, present, and future of this life, we commit ourselves to you. And Lord, I'm reminded, even as an American, even as a charlatan, even as a Christian called here now, I'm reminded of a unique group of men whose witness wrote that they came one by one with undaunted resolution on their faces and pledged to the formation of a government. Their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And they said, we shall hang together or we shall hang separately. And all the more surely, Lord, that not only this nation would be a witness, a light raised up as was intended, that the gospel of Christ may go forward to the nations, but all the more so your church in a nation and in the nations. And all the more so, each member of your body, each of us, might be freshly graced with fire from your altar, with sprinkling of the living blood that speaks a better word, with the breath, resuscitating breath of Creator God Himself, who breathed into a lump of clay and made a man. Surely, Lord, in the new creation, we pray, come, Holy Spirit, breathe on us afresh. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Remain standing. I woke up this morning with a phrase from Isaiah 55 in my mind. It simply says, I have given him as a witness. Shout witness. In the biblical language, witness and testimony are the root words for our English word martyr. And whether we live or die, today God has called each of us to recognize afresh that He ordained our life and has designed it that we be His witness, that we know Christ, and that we share that knowledge with others. And I will say to you, not any one of us is more or less or excused from this calling. Isaiah says, hey! Say hey.
Hey!
Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. If you have no money, come. Buy and eat. Why spend money for that which doesn't satisfy? Why waste your wages? Listen, eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life abundantly. I know our Americanized gospel means a lot of money, a lot of celebrity, a lot of influence, perhaps. But He was speaking of fullness in communion with Him, day by day in this mortal existence, going forward into our true glory, eternal life. So this is a day of recalibration, of recognition, that from the moment He revealed Himself to you, God stamped you for glory in eternity, to equip you as a runner fit for a race, that you might take the baton of the cross of this new creation and let it so implant in your whole being that you run, and not only individually, but that we run together until we see Him face to face. Say witness.
Witness.
So whether we live or whether we die, the Bible declares that we are His martyrs. As a sign and a wonder. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him. Would you lay your hands on your heart? And if you're willing to receive it, if there's any witness in your spirit that God is speaking to you, to us today, can you say,
He has given me
as a witness
to the people?
Now reflect for a moment. Don't look at me. Reflect for a moment. And let this settle. I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader, a commander, to call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Friends, in the new creation, sovereign God Almighty has come down to be upon and in you by his Shekinah, that is the vibrant, manifest presence of God himself, the Holy Spirit. He has glorified you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. He has anointed us to preach good news. Amen. And he has equipped us for this calling. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And he is very near this morning. And so we call. Would you take a moment and call afresh from your own place in your own life? Call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. If I were calling, I would not say, Jesus, I'm calling. Lord, I'm calling on you, calling on you. Call on the Lord. Some of you have been waiting for this moment. There's been something pent up inside you, an unanswered desire, a passion, a desire, a longing towards. And this is a moment. Don't miss it. Some of you have been looking for direction of feeling unfulfilled. This is a moment. Call on the Lord. Some of you have been distracted by work or by the disasters in your family or by illnesses in your body. This is a moment. You are witnesses. Call on the Lord. So let us return to the Lord. For surely he will show us mercy. For he pardons abundantly. My thoughts are not your thoughts. What does it mean? It means he thinks differently. He does things differently. In order that as the rain comes down and snow from heaven and only goes one way, that is out of heaven into the earth, in order that it cause the seed sown hidden in the soil with life to spring forth in it, in order that the word might come from heaven into us and give life and cause every seed that God has sown in us throughout our lives of mission, vision, calling, understanding, revelation, repentance, salvation to spring forth as a tree whose leaves are to heal the nations. Friends, can we shout together, we are witnesses.
We are witnesses.
Come on. Look at one another. Declare it to one another. Testify today and settle it in your heart. That thing that's going on in your life, guess why? That battle you're up against, guess why? That triumph you've just experienced, guess why? Toward your children, guess what? Toward your co-workers, why are you there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. Jesus used this imagery. He said, the Son of Man goes forth sowing precious seeds, and sometimes it bore 30, sometimes 60, sometimes 100-fold. But notice, he's looking for his return on his investment.
That's right. Amen.
So I call it forth today.
Amen.
In this Kairos hour.
Amen.
That you go forth and bear fruit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'd like you just to bless one another for a moment. Greet one another. Pray for one another. Celebrate the Lord together. Get to know somebody that you haven't known. And for all of you watching at home, from New York and Texas and California, from Germany, from Asia, from Africa, from Australia, from Scotland, we are witnesses together. Some of you have heard an unusual story I tell about an experience, a rare experience I had a few years ago during our July summer conference when, with the exception of the material substance of my physical body, everything about my person experientially, as alive as I am in this moment, I was not in this earth. I was in another place. And in the next few moments, the Lord showed me some things about the intercession of heaven and our own nation. And one of the images, as a culmination of this good word, can you say there's a good word? In this good word for the future of this nation, one of the unusual images was I saw and heard a mighty thunderclap and a bolt of lightning hit the rotunda of the Capitol. Now, seeing that image, you know, I think immediately we run to the story of the disciples when they were being resisted by a few and they said to the Lord, "Can we call fire down on them?" He said, "You don't know what spirit you're speaking out of." But I saw a dramatic, powerful bolt of lightning come out of heaven and strike the rotunda. I think of another time. And Jesus was being baptized. And God testified, "You're my witness. You're my son." And he spoke to all those present, "This is him. Listen to him." And some said, "Was that thunder?" It thundered in the rotunda of the Capitol of the United States, as a witness not only to this nation but to the nations this week. From Charlotte,
amen.
God has given a witness.
In the spring of 1934, Billy Graham's father allowed a group of Charlotte businessmen to use a portion of the family's dairy farm to gather for a day of prayer. On that day, the men prayed for the city. They prayed that out of Charlotte the Lord would raise up someone to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. We are here today, more than 8 years later, because that prayer was truly answered. Billy Graham was 15 years old at the time. Just a few months later, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That choice didn't just change Billy's life, it changed our lives. It changed our country, and it changed, in fact, the entire world. The North Carolina farm boy walked out of those fields into a great and beautiful history. Starting at a small Bible school in Florida, he soon led a nationwide revival. From a large tent in Los Angeles to 100,000 people in a single day at Yankee Stadium, to more than 2 million people at Madison Square Garden, over 16 weeks in 1957. And I remember that because my father said to me, "Come on, son." And by the way, he said, "Come on, Mom, let's go see Billy Graham at Yankee Stadium." And it was something very special. But Americans came in droves to hear that great young preacher. Fred Trump was a big fan. Fred Trump was my father. In London, Tokyo, Seoul, Bogota, Moscow, New Delhi, Saigon, Johannesburg, and scores of other places, all over the world, Reverend Graham shared the power of God's word with more than 200 million people in person and countless others through television and radio, where people loved to watch and listen. In 1978, with the support of the Catholic bishop, who would soon become Pope John Paul II, Reverend Graham went to Poland and spoke of the meaning of the cross to a people suffering under the soulless oppression of communism. Billy Graham carried his message around the world, but his heart, as Franklin will tell you, was always in America. He took his message to the poorest places, to the downtrodden, and to the brokenhearted, to inmates in prison, and to the overlooked and the neglected. He felt a great passion for those that were neglected. Everywhere he went, Reverend Graham delivered the same beautiful message. God loves you. That was his message. God loves you. We can only imagine the number of lives touched by the preaching and the prayers of Billy Graham. The hearts he changed, the sorrows he eased, and the joy he brought to so many. The testimony is endless. Today we give thanks for this extraordinary life. And it's very fitting that we do so right here in the rotunda of the United States Capitol, where the memory of the American people is enshrined. Here in this room, we are reminded that America is a nation sustained by prayer. The painting to my left is of the pilgrims as they embarked for America, holding fast to the Bible and bowing their heads in prayer. Along these walls, we see the faces of Americans who prayed as they stood on the Lexington Green, who prayed as they headed west, prayed as they headed into battle, and prayed as they marched for justice, and always marched for victory. Around us stand the statues of heroes who led the nation in prayer during the great and difficult times. From Washington to Lincoln to Eisenhower to King. And today, in the center of this great chamber, lies legendary Billy Graham, an ambassador for Christ who reminded the world of the power of prayer and the gift of God's grace. Today, we honor him as only three private citizens before him have been so honored. And like the faithful of Charlotte once did, today we say a prayer for our country, that all across this land, the Lord will raise up men and women like Billy Graham to spread a message of love and hope to every precious child of God. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you very much.
Stand to your feet. We have been given an inheritance. And today it comes home to us in a particular and unique way. This humble country boy lived by the Bible. He daily revived himself in personal communion with God in prayer. With great and unwavering conviction, he was personally committed to the local congregational membership of the church. He had his eye fixed not on any prize of this life, but on the certainty of one day seeing Jesus face to face. And he made himself utterly dependent upon the presence and person of the Holy Spirit. And as the apostle wrote, "What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, righteousness from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." Witness. Martyr. "If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I, friends, let's say together with the apostle, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Selah. Let that settle on. reflect for a moment. I press on that I may lay hold of the very thing for which Christ has revealed himself to me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Say one thing.
One thing.
Look at your neighbor. Say one thing.
One thing.
One thing. As I said, this is a moment. This is a day of repentance, of reflection for myself. This is a day of recalibration, of recounting what God has done, why the Lord has revealed himself to me, what my purpose in life is. That in every day and every way, to be a reflection that I know Jesus Christ personally. As we heard Dr. Graham's voice at the beginning of the service, he said, I serve a living Christ. I know him. Do you? One thing. Forgetting the past. So in every place today that we may be wearing a false martyr's cloak, a beggar's cloak, a cloak of excuses, of brokenness, of betrayal, disappointment, fears, depressions, whatever, today is the day to forget about it. Forget about it. Throw off the beggar's cloak. Throw it off. You may not have eyes to see clearly, but as that blind man heard Jesus passing by, he threw away his only security and said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. So today, I pray that is the sincere cry of each of our hearts, beginning with mine. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, that I may throw off the beggar's cloak and depend solely upon you, whether I see or do not see, that I would trust in you and follow the sound of your voice. One thing I do. Reaching forward. I think we ought to reach forward. Make it real. You don't know what you're reaching for. Some of you think you know what you're reaching for. I guarantee you, when you lay hold of it, you're going to be surprised. But I challenge you. I challenge you in faith to reach forward as that blind man did, as Bartimaeus did that day, sitting, rising from the beggar's seat. Not knowing, but hearing the sound of the master's voice somewhere in front of him. Reach forward. Reach forward today and determine, commit with all of your heart. No matter what the Lord puts in your hand, you will do it with all of your might for his glory. And let us encourage one another. Let us encourage one another day by day. Let us encourage one another. If by any means. Many of you know that we've been reflecting, I've been reflecting on the story of Jacob's life. And how, as possessor and pre-appointed heir to become the progenitor of the nation of Israel that exists today, there were a few means by which Jacob had to wrestle for that blessing and lay hold of it. And not the least of them being that his own mother saw and heard the purpose of God over his life and determined by hook or crook, it would be him and not the other that received that blessing. We are living our lives in a season of coming full circle. But today we start afresh at the foot of the cross, at the place of our calling. We are witnesses. And that's why all the rest of this makes sense. If by any means I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It may be said that the entire Bible can be summed up in one sentence. That God reigns, that He saves, and that He satisfies through covenant in Christ Jesus. We are witnesses. You may be seated. So, Lord, we are waiting on You today. We embrace afresh today Your call upon our lives. That You created us, that You formed us, that You recreated us, that You redeemed us, that You called us by Your name to be Your own peculiar possession, that we are Your witnesses. We accept we are Your servants, that You have chosen us, that we may know You, believe You, and understand that You are I am that I am. The one who spoke to Moses when he said, "Who shall I tell them? Who shall I say has sent me?" And the word that Moses heard that day, though we say I am that I am, what Moses heard in his language was You, Lord, saying, "Moses, I will be there howsoever I will be there." Oftentimes we expect God to be waiting for us as we have predetermined He shall be. But today, we're throwing off every preconception and false ideal and idol, whether it be some high and lofty thing or some pitiful misconception. Jesus said, "This gospel, that there is salvation in no other name, that all roads do not lead to God, that there is salvation and eternal life, abundant life and forgiveness of sins. There is saving from the judgment and the righteous wrath to come." And there is. There is justice due from a righteous God. This also was one of the clarifying lights of the impact of Billy Graham, because he never made the gospel seeker friendly. Amen. Nehesh and I met with some of the dignitaries and esteemed persons that were invited to our city for the memorial of Dr. Graham. And one of them, a very famous music artist, said, "The Lord said something to me recently. It was quite shocking." He said, "The seeker-friendly church is producing more tares than it is wheat." He said, "It so struck me that I had to go to my Bible and start looking into this word of tare and see what it really was." And he said, "What I found stunned me. A tare was something called a bearded Darden." Once our guide in Israel stopped the bus and went out into what looked like a wide field of flourishing wheat and pulled a handful of these stalks from the ground and brought them back to the bus and held it up and said, "What is this?" And the bus looked, all the people on the bus looked at it and said, "Wheat." And he laughed. He said, "Yeah, it looks like wheat, but look." And he took those, what looked like full head kernels in his hand, and he rubbed them together, and they crushed into dust. They were completely empty inside, having the appearance of wheat. And this particular individual this week said to us, "As I looked up tares and did a little research, I found that the bearded Darden is actually filled with a type of gas that produces drowsiness and a hypnotic state. Perhaps the slumber that is laying upon our nation and threatens our children's future has actually been rising out of the church, because we have neglected the simple gospel, not just from these pulpits, but from every heart and mouth, because we are witnesses. We are witnesses. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Dr. Graham kept his life and message focused on the day of the Lord that was coming. His favorite Bible passage was from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that talks about the day of the Lord and his appearing. In the book of Hebrews, it says, "We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So let us lay aside every weight today." Today. Shake it off. 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 And the sin which so easily ensnares our tongues, our language, our minds, our emotions, our habits, shake it off. Like Bartimaeus threw off that cloak. His license to beg, shake it off. The sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Look at your neighbor. Exhort them. Exhort them. Imagine that we are running a marathon right now together. We just watched the Olympics. Imagine that we are running a marathon together in a great crowd. You may feel a little out of breath, but I'm telling you, look at your fellow runner and encourage them. Come on. We're running for a prize. an inestimable prize for which the greatest price was paid, the very Son of God given on Calvary, that you might receive this inheritance. Run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. Can we refocus our attention this morning? Can we refocus what we're looking at, really, to the life and example and personhood of Jesus himself in truth and fullness? Let us look no longer at men, at ourselves, at some false reward or intermediary blessing. Let us fix our eyes on one thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. Born of the Virgin. A man living in history in the real world. Suffering under an evil potentate. Crucified, the most torturous, horrible death imagined by the greatest kingdom of the world at that time, the Romans. No longer looking like a human being, dead, and put in the grave, sealed with a great stone. But that was Friday. And Sunday was coming. Sunday's coming. Sunday is coming. Ha ha. It is true. Because we have been glorified with the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And there is yet a Sunday that is coming when the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. In the meantime, I would say, let's take some territory. Let's take some territory. Let's take some territory. He wrote himself in his own blood, the beginning and middle and end of the epic romance that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but will have eternal life. And for the great joy that was set before him, the God-man endured the cross, completely disregarding the fact that as a human he was hung up naked before his friends, his family, his enemies, his betrayers, before the whole world to see, to look at, to deride, to be shocked by, to mourn. But for the joy on the other side, he set his face and endured the cross for our sake. And he is now. Say now.
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 right now. Right now. Right now. He is now set down in the throne of God at the very right hand of favor. God reigns. God saves. And he satisfies through covenant in Christ Jesus. Amen. So this is a day of reflection, of renewal, of repentance. And recalibration. This is the day the Lord has made. We are his witnesses. Hallelujah. Now stand together. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation and purchase of God, born of his spirit and washed in his blood. Perfect submission. All is at rest as I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting and looking above, filled with his goodness and lost in his love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Come on.
This is my story.
Praising my Savior all the day long.
Blessed assurance.
We worship you, Lord.
Jesus is mine.
We invite your glory.
Oh, what a foretaste.
Surely you are in this place today.
It's a special moment. It's a holy moment. It's a glory moment. And it's a sobering moment. There's a sobering fear of the Lord in this moment. And after a message like that, I want the healing team just to come and line up both sides. We need to make a response in this moment. And I just want to encourage you, if that message this morning is pinged, witnessed with your spirit, that there is, and I'm speaking as my ears first, then your ears, that there is a decision to be made this morning to 100% afresh present ourselves to God as living sacrifices. Romans chapter 12. And I feel there's a grace and an encouragement with it, but I feel there is a sobering reality that as we come forward to rededicate ourselves to the Lord, that there is responsibility to, in our behavior and walking before the Lord, worthy of the calling, that there is a reality of increased warfare and sometimes increased opposition as we present ourselves to the Lord. So I want to make an altar call right now, in this moment, that if that message witnessed and pinged with you this morning, that come forward right now and just agree with that member of the healing team that together we are presenting ourselves to the Lord as living sacrifices, whatever the price may be. Let's come forward.
My soul, raising my soul. coming for prayer, we'd also like to offer, if anybody needs a church home, this is not the season to be wandering around. You need to plant yourself in a local body, and we would love to have you join All Nations Church if you feel like the Lord is leading you here. If you'll just come up and speak to one of the healing team members on this side over here, you see Virgie with the clipboard, and she'll be happy to take your name and give you some information. We'd like to speak to those on the internet too. We believe that our family extends to those when you are watching in from your home. So be sure and send us an email. Let us know that you are partnering with us and that you're joining with us. And we welcome you into this family of God here at All Nations Church. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.